Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And thank you for joining us here for AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you along for another conversation about farming, ranching, and issues impacting rural America. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about fighting fires on the operation and a new partnership between Nationwide and Enforcer One with Laramie Sandquist from Nationwide joining us here in just a moment. In segment two, we're going to talk with Marcus Tyler from Farm Credit Mid-America about their cooperative's approach to expanding equity and access in the agriculture industry. And then after the bottom of the hour, we're going to have an extended conversation with the chair of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, the Beef Checkoff, Andy Bishop from Kentucky. We're going to talk about his view of the beef industry, and we will talk about the checkoff and some of the news surrounding the checkoff here in recent years. That's all coming up on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Long hours, the name of the game. Cenex Premium Diesel helps to keep your operation on the road. Learn more at cenex.com. Well, joining us here on the program today, we are talking about the risk of agricultural fires and how you could stay safe on your operation, plus a new partnership, Fighting Fire with Foam, between Nationwide and Enforcer One. We're going to talk about all that and more here today on the program. Joining us now with Nationwide, Laramie Sandquist is with us here today. Laramie, always good to talk with you. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Jesse, thanks for having us. Appreciate being on.
Well, let's talk about ag fires, especially spring planting season is underway and always a busy time of year. You know, and I've seen pictures in the past of, you know, tractors, catching on fire in the field and things like that. And, you know, I just think about ag fires on the farm or around the farm in general. It's something that is a fairly big issue that you don't necessarily think about until something happens. Right, Laramie?
That's correct. Yeah. Thanks, Jesse. And, you know, we always talk about fire prevention in October for Fire Prevention Week and Fire Prevention Month in the month of October. But I always say that at that time of year that fire prevention is year round, right? We should be protecting this industry. We should be making sure that we have comprehensive safety solutions as it pertains to fire prevention. And as you said, just operational controls that we have in place as well. And that's why we're so excited about this new partnership with Enforcer One. Enforcer One, as you said, is kind of a foam agent chemical that is used on the spot in the cab of a tractor, a combine, a vehicle, in the shop area, wherever they would have some hazards. And as you know, with fire prevention, it's all about having multiple layers of protection. So this would be looked at as kind of one of those first layers of protection. Obviously, you're going to have maybe some sprinkler systems and some other systems you may have there. But this is one that's right there in the cab, ready to use for these smaller fires that are out there.
Well, and, you know, thinking about these foam-related substances to help with fighting fires, you know, with the Enforcer One partnership that you guys have, we've seen soy-based foams on the market now, all these different things. To your point, having that available right there in the cab or in the shop is something that could help with immediate, you know, prevention of fires if something would break out. Because, you know, a lot of folks, you know, in rural America, it's going to be 10, 15, 20 minutes before, you know, the fire department could maybe make it to a fire. And by then it could be too late. Right, Laramie?
Yeah, no doubt. We see it far too often where you have equipment either out in the field or in the shop after it's come in from the field, whether it's, coming in for the day or coming in for maintenance or whatever it happens to be, that still has some hot spots in it. And that's why we try to prevent it through these comprehensive risk solutions. You know, I think we've talked to you about our Teledyne FLIR thermal imaging cameras in the past that we're able to detect these hot spots. It's more of a building solution, but we're seeing a lot of folks use these on their mobile equipment as well to see where those hot spots are, to cool them off so that they're not storing them inside, or they can keep them outside, or they can use a fire prevention tool like this foam to cool it off and take care of it right there. I mean, when you talk about this foam, you're talking about a non-toxic, fluorine, PFAS-free type of material. So it is environmentally healthy. So it's a great product to use at that just-in-time where you identify a hot spot and you just need to cool that thing off to feel safe at night going home and going to bed and getting ready to get back up in the morning.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that too. You know, kind of this adds to the suite of products from Nationwide. You know, I think a lot of times, Laramie, folks hear Nationwide and they just think insurance, you know, and insurance policies, but you guys have a lot of different resources available to help protect farms and ranches, you know, beyond just the, you know, that standard insurance policy, things like that. And that's where products like this partnership with Enforcer One and et cetera really come into play. You guys try to offer a lot of different resources to help on the farm, don't you?
Yeah, you look at the resources we have out there between our partnership with Haytech that does some hay bale monitoring, our partnership, as I talked about, with Teledyn FLIR on the thermal imaging. We've got PrevTech that does the electrical monitoring, and then obviously the firefighting piece of it as well. So you try to take that prevention approach up front. And then, of course, we also know that bad things can happen. So you need these just-in-time fire prevention solutions to put out the fire while it's there. And we always talk in terms of a comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm. You know, this, I look at this partnership with Enforcer One as being a piece of the puzzle. It's not the puzzle itself. And so this is a good, great piece for that fire prevention plan. But nothing trumps the ability to look through their operations, to be thinking through what are the hazards within my operation, within the shop area. You know, what am I doing? We just had a welding fire the other day, right? And so thinking through what are the things that I'm doing here that could potentially put me at risk, and then what prevention mechanisms I'm putting in place to offset that.
Laramie, as spring planting's underway, folks are busy. And maybe talk with us a little bit, share some thoughts you might have, general reminders, things that, folks need to keep in mind to be safe during spring planting season in the field, around the farm, general, just kind of some of those risk reminders and protections. I mean, what would you tell folks to keep in mind here during this busy time of year?
Yeah, it's interesting, Jesse. We just came out with a new driving initiative that maybe you and I talk about in the future as well, but we're calling it Drive the Five. But I think this acronym can be used for anything between driving or just operationally, where the D stands for distraction free. So the first thing I'd say is, as you're out there, you know, working, be distraction free, whether that's out in the field, whether that's, you know, walking around the yard, whether that's driving a vehicle, be distraction free. The R is rest, right? Get plenty of rest. Make sure you take advantage of that time, the downtime, to be able to get yourself rested, get yourself hydrated, be ready for the next day. The I is under the influence. Let's make sure that we're staying on, you know, drug and alcohol free during this time frame. Make sure that our full faculties are there. We're able to do what we need to do out there. The V is vehicle maintenance, but you could look at that as just overall operational maintenance, right? Are we making sure that we're cleaning up after ourselves in the shop? I know it's busy time, but we can't forget that housekeeping is a lot of times the fuel for the fire. When a fire starts, that gets it up and gets it going quicker. So making sure that we're not skimping on the maintenance side. And then the E is just the environment, knowing the environment that we're working in, knowing the hazards of the environment we're working in, and just thinking through what's our risk management plan every day that we're going out there and working. So appreciate the opportunity.
Definitely. And I know as well, folks have questions, Laramie. They want to learn more about the Enforcer One partnership, the suite of products that Nationwide offers. I know they can reach out online. It's probably a great place to start, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. Our Insight Online page, or even enforcerone.com, that's enforcerone.com, is a great place to start. Otherwise, talk to your local agent. They definitely have access to our materials as well. So this Enforcer One product is marketed through our agents or any one of our Nationwide risk management folks that are working with these farmers and ranchers across the country. It's another great place to start.
And nationwide.com as well. With that, Laramie Sandquist with Nationwide. Thanks for joining us here on AOA. We'll be back with more on the show brought to you by Cenex right after this. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, where we take a close look at the benefits of cooperative ownership. Every week, we'll host a new guest and discuss how you can get the most from working with your local cooperative. And we'll learn why farmers and ranchers just like you choose cooperatives to help them persevere and prosper. Tune in each Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve With private healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
If you miss an episode of AOA, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Agriculture of America on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Great vision doesn't require great sight. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Make your impact today. Donate now at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex premium diesel to keep you in the field. Learn more at your nearest Cenex location or visit cenex.com for more details. Well, joining us now on the program, we want to have a conversation about jobs in the ag industry and how to get more diversity and inclusivity in the ag industry. In fact, a new employment outlook by Purdue and the USDA reports in the next 5 years, we could see nearly 58,000 jobs involving food, agriculture, and renewable natural resources, and there won't be enough workers to fill the positions. So how is Farm Credit Mid-America working to help bring more folks into the ag industry? Joining us now for that conversation, Marcus Tyler with Farm Credit Mid-America is with us. Marcus, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
Doing amazing, Jesse. Thank you so much for having me.
So set this up. I cited that report from Purdue and USDA and thinking about the amount of jobs that will become available here annually in the U.S. That is related to food and agriculture. It's sounding like we got a lot of different roles to fill and maybe not enough people to fill those roles right now, Marcus.
Absolutely. It's very astonishing when you look at that data to see the amount of potential job opportunities that are and will be available, yet we still have a shortage. And as I analyze that, I mean, our purpose as an association is to secure the future of rural communities and agriculture. And one of the key ways that we do that is by strategically investing in the diversity of minds, cultures, and beliefs of those in the field. And so we've been able to do this successfully, I want to say, by focusing on three specific areas. You know, everything starts with the youth. That's one of our buckets. Not saying that I'm a Bill Clinton stan or not even saying that I got anything against him, but I saw an article where he said, in order for our nation to be prosperous, we have to invest into the education of the youth. And I am someone who comes from a non-ag background. And I was exposed into an organization called Manners. And what Manners does is, well, Jesse, are you familiar with Manners?
I've heard the acronym, but if you give me a background on that, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. So MANR stands for Minorities in Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Related Sciences. So this is an organization that exposes minorities to all the different opportunities and what success can look like for them. So personally, I don't come from an ag background, from the city of Lexington, Kentucky. If you would have asked me about ag in high school, I would have told you, hey, the horse capital of the world. That's all I would have been able to give. That's it. But I remember walking in my first meeting, and it wasn't even the content that grabbed my attention, but it was the fact that students looked like me. It was the fact that some of the students did not look like me, but they had a passion for serving agriculture and building those communities around them. So that's what this organization does. And we make sure that we invest into the youth by supporting this Junior Manners organization, supporting 4-H efforts across our territory, as well as the FFA organizations. When I think about it, there is a chapter in Kentucky, the Seneca FFA chapter, and they are, I want to say, the only FFA program that has an urban ag program. So making sure that we are breaking this huge misconception of agriculture with our youth, because, you know, there's not one set way of what agriculture looks like. And there tends to be a perception that ag just deals with farming, or that's the misconception that I had, but it's so much more. Everything that we think of, touch, eat, our natural resources, all of that is agriculture. So it's about breaking that misconception. And then following that youth bucket is transitioning to the collegiate level. So how do we continue to serve and expand the professional development of these MANRs, 4-H, FFA students? So we try to make sure that we send our, this year, we've sent students from nine different universities across our territory to the MANRs National Conference to make sure that we're continuing to support them. And it's the same with 4-H, FFA, and our scholarships that we offer. And then lastly, we want to make sure that we're impacting those local current organizations who are in the community and people are aware of them. So we support an organization called Black Soil. Black Soil is an organization that's Black owned throughout the state of Kentucky. It's a small business, but they're dedicated to reclaiming the Black farming heritage throughout Kentucky. And it's the same with an organization called AgriBility. You know, we sent and sponsored some of their members to attend their national conference. And that organization is focused on assisting those farmers in production that have disabilities and disadvantages.
Well, and to your points there, those strategic investments and trying to maybe, you know, bridge that gap a little bit too. You mentioned some of the misconceptions out there about agriculture, maybe some of that gap that we've seen between the rural urban divide, so to speak, Marcus. I mean, I think that might be part of some of this conversation as well, right?
Absolutely. And like you said, it's so important to understand and analyze what agriculture looks like in specific areas. Like you said, there's a rural component sector of agriculture. There's also an urban, but it's also important to understand at the root of that agriculture is agriculture. You know, it doesn't look the same as it did 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, and it's never going to look the same going forward. There's all type of technological advances. People are becoming more efficient with agricultural production on a smaller set of land and being able to increase and scale their volume of production, similar to those who do have massive amounts of land. But understanding that ag is ag, we have to support that going forward. So that's what we're trying to do.
Well, and with those strategic investments and more from Farm Credit Mid-America, as you see those investments at work with youth in the MANRs program and other programs that you mentioned, Marcus, I mean, what are you seeing the reaction from some of the youth that are maybe working through these programs, going through college, graduating, wanting to go into the agriculture industry? I mean, talk about some of, you know, the excitement you're seeing from them, things like that. I mean, do you have any, you know, firsthand stories you could maybe talk about there?
Absolutely. So when you said that, I was thinking about a quote that one of my advisors told me in college, and he was saying that there's no comfort in the growth zone and there's no growth in the comfort zone. And so I grew up in a household where I didn't have much choices, Jesse. You know, I had a house, I mean, a shelter, a roof over my head, and I had great food to eat. But I also realized that I wasn't in the choice or the position to make decisions that I knew were best for my future. So I had some guidance. And until I got out of that comfort zone and was placed in situations where I didn't necessarily know what the future may hold, is when I learned the most. So when we're interacting with the youth, when we're interacting with current aspiring farmers who may not have much direction, it's important that we meet them where they are. And I know that might sound cliche or might sound simple, but we have a lot of opportunity. And that has been one of our focuses as an association, is to, you know, I know you heard, if you're not on the menu, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. But we have to make sure that we're in that same place of business or at the restaurant to know what's on that menu. So it's about understanding what challenges that they are, being in the place where current farmers, aspiring farmers in non-traditional markets are thriving. What challenges, unique challenges, do they look like? Making sure that we're showing up. There's not one set solution. So understanding in detail, based off of geography and challenges, what unique solutions can we tailor and support for you all?
Well, and to that point as well, you said something there that I think I'll kind of add with here, and we can talk about to kind of wrap up, Marcus, but also, you know, current farmers and ranchers being able to, you know, maybe extend their hand to help youth and help folks from different backgrounds come through the door, so to speak, to learn about agriculture and maybe want to get involved. I think that's important too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Rome wasn't built in one day. We have to also understand that us being able to service the youth, collegiate, and these local organizations, we would not be able to do that without our partners. And when I say our partners, I'm meaning the nonprofit organizations, the land grant, the HBCU university, as well as the higher education universities. They all have their specialty and their niche. So it's about not recreating the wheelhouse, but thriving in that ecosystem and utilizing everybody's strengths. And by doing so, we've been able to provide nearly $4 million in community investments in this past year alone, provide 442 scholarships awarded in the last 5 years, and even work with our local food banks and provide them with 3.5 million meals over the past 5 years. So you're exactly right. It's about cultivating that community.
Well, and I know folks can learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and all the different things you guys are doing for the ag industry. I'm sure a great way to start is FCMA.com, isn't it, Marcus?
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. Thank you.
Yep. FCMA.com for more information. We've been talking with Marcus Tyler from Farm Credit Mid-America here today on Agriculture of America. Marcus, really appreciate the time, the conversation. Thanks so much. And I hope you guys keep doing the work you're doing and bringing more folks into the ag industry. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you much for having me. I appreciate you.
And once again, AOA today is brought to you by our friends at Cenex. After long days of the field, equipment is subject to wear. Cenex premium lubricants help keep equipment protected. Learn more at Cenex.com. On the way next, we're going to have a conversation with Andy Bishop from the Beef Checkoff at the Cattlemen's Beef Board. We're going to talk a wide range of issues. He will join us on the way after the break here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together, we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with this check in agricultural market information from the American Ag Network. Tuesday, another storm system is slated to move across the plains and upper Midwest. Rain is moving across Indiana and Ohio early Tuesday, and it's the eastern Corn Belt planting pace that is lagging due to excess moisture. Corn inspections last week continued to run well above the USDA estimate, and they're up 32% over a year ago. Total corn shipments of 1.245 5 billion bushels so far, compared to just 941 million bushels exported last year at this same time. Tuesday, the EPA is expected to be out with their revised GREET model, which will show the eligibility of credits for sustainable aviation fuel. The trade will watch closely for the implications for ethanol and corn. Soybeans. Soybean meal continues to buck the bearish trend as it moves higher due to firm domestic basis and delays in the Argentine soy harvest. The soybean meal strength is a bit surprising in that Argentina's soy crop is double that of a year ago, and U.S. soy meal is over a $28 per ton premium to Argentine offers. There were 533 soybean deliveries and 222 soybean meal deliveries, with Cargill putting out 211 of those. Unlike corn inspections, soybean inspections for the year are just 1.424 billion bushels. That's compared to 1.714 billion bushels a year ago. For wheat, Russia's free on board wheat prices are running at $212 a metric ton, and that's roughly $4 per metric ton higher than a week ago. However, Russian wheat still appears to be the world importer's best bet. Wheat inspections continue to run close to USDA expectations, with 622 million bushels shipped so far, but that's down from 671 million bushels a year ago. I'm Jody Heemstra for the American Ag Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Learn more at Cenex.com. Joining us now on the program, pleased to sit down and have a conversation with the chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, the Beef Checkoff, Andy Bishop from Kentucky. Andy, thanks for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything's been good, and glad to be back on and talk just a little bit. Let's talk checkoff.
Yeah, let's talk checkoff, and we got some different things, some interesting topics to discuss regarding the checkoff with you here today. I want to just start, though, for folks who, you know, may not be aware or haven't heard from you, you know, a whole lot here since you took over as chair necessarily. I mean, tell us more about why you wanted to get involved with the Cattlemen's Beef Board.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've got a small cow-calf operation here in Kentucky. I'd be a representation of the farmers that you see in Kentucky. Average herd size, 38 head. So most farmers in Kentucky work off the farm just like myself and then farm at nights and on the weekends and anytime cows get out. But raising my family of four on the farm, and I got involved with the Cattlemen's Association back at probably in like 2007. Immediately got sucked into the family atmosphere. And I tell everybody when we do events in the cattle industry, it's like a big class reunion. And that kind of drew me in. And as I got into that, I started getting more and more into the checkoff side of things and seeing what beef promotion was about, how those checkoff dollars were being spent and the programs that were out there. And man, I've just been hooked. And the fact that even a guy like myself with 70 to 75 cows, can have an impact on the industry from a marketing standpoint when it comes down to the checkoff and the role that I can play there has been huge for me. And my kids love it. They go to events with me and they're out promoting beef and doing beef month things with their schools individually. And so it's kind of been a family thing for us as well. And it's just drawn me into to the checkoff and all things beef promotion.
Well, I know your work as chair, you got a lot of different things that are going on in terms of the beef checkoff and the beef industry as a whole. What challenges and what opportunities do you see ahead for the beef industry here in 2024? Let's dive in on that topic.
Yeah. And so that's a great question. And it's one we're dealing with, we've been dealing with really for the last 3 or 4 years here. And as you know, inventory is down nationwide. We're at the lowest level since, I think, 1953. And so when you see those low cow inventories, we know that receipts from the sale of cattle are going to be down as well. And that means receipts for the checkoff are going to be down. At the same time, Jesse, the price of everything that we do is increasing. And so we're trying to promote beef in the best way possible with less dollars and less buying power. And if you look at the value of that original dollar that was passed in 1985, that value, that's the spending value of that dollar today is like 32 cents. And so we're having to promote beef now more than ever with less buying power and less dollars than we ever had before. And so that's probably our biggest challenge. It's something we've been dealing with from a beef board standpoint. How do we spread those dollars out to make sure that our contractors are not getting tightened out or squeezed out so much that they can't run their programs efficiently and effectively? And we've had to get pretty creative with contractors and say, hey, how can we collaborate among contractors? How can we collaborate and bring in outside industry funds into the checkoff to partner with us to try to spread those dollars out? And I think that's been a challenge, but it's been an advantage. And I think anytime that producers at home can ratchet down things at home and look at what we're spending and why we're spending them and get more efficient with those, we're more successful on the farm. It's no different with the checkoff and the aspect that we're getting lean with our dollars in the checkoff, but we're getting lean at how we operate and we're becoming more efficient. We're building partnerships with people across the industry, across contractors, and we're starting to work together, which means those dollars are going to work more efficiently than they ever have before. And that's probably our biggest advantage. Secondly, our social media platforms. They are the cheapest, most efficient and effective way to advertise for beef right now and market our product. That comes with an advantage in that we can really utilize those dollars effectively, cheapen things up as far as how many people we can reach for the value of what we were spending. You know, we used to advertise on television because it was a cheap avenue and it reached the masses. With so many different platforms to watch television now, it's no longer efficient or effective, really, in many aspects to advertise on television, but it's so expensive that it's cost prohibitive. We can do the same thing on social media platforms for a fourth of the dollars and reach more people. And we can target more people that we want to target with those advertisements. The disadvantage of that, Jesse, is the fact that a lot of producers are not going to see what we're doing from a checkoff standpoint when we advertise on those platforms. 25 years ago, families sit down and they watch TV at night. They could see a beef promotion on television and they, hey, those are my checkoff dollars at work. The producers that we have today more than likely are not spending time on Spotify, TikTok, Pinterest, those type platforms where we're advertising or we're marketing to the consumer that we're trying to reach that are not going to see advertising elsewhere. And so when you advertise on those platforms, those producers have a hard time seeing those advertisements and therefore creates a disadvantage because producers begin to say, hey, why am I not seeing my checkoff dollars at work? And so that's a double-edged sword. And that's where a lot of things come into play as far as how we educate our producers on what we're doing.
Well, and of course, to your point, you know, stretching that checkoff dollar for promotion and finding some of those new avenues. I want to dive in a little bit about, you kind of alluded to this, about some producers maybe not seeing their checkoff dollars at work. And there's been a lot of attacks on the checkoffs, not just the beef checkoff, but other checkoffs here in the U.S. in the last year or two. And it's a conversation, I guess I'll kind of play the devil's advocate here. You know, a lot of folks are questioning where their checkoff dollars are going, et cetera. I've even seen a couple cattle producers talk about that on social media, you know, and a lot of folks just attacking the checkoff and, you know, calling for, you know, getting rid of the checkoff or more transparency, et cetera. So, I mean, talk about that a little bit from your perspective, Andy. Do you feel like that's the toughest challenge that the beef checkoff is facing right now, possibly?
I truly think it is, Jesse, especially from a producer sentiment standpoint. I mean, we do producer surveys every year, and our positivity around the checkoff is 70 to 75% consistently. I think last year our survey was, and there are random surveys by a third party group that survey producers and ask about checkoff. And so I think that's a positive. Obviously, what you see on social media is a lot of times just the negativity. And it does come from producers not seeing how those dollars are spent. It's probably been one of my main goals coming into the chairman role is how do we spread our message about what we're doing and how do we do it in a different way where producers can see that. We spend money every year on putting advertisements or putting different materials in stockyards where producers spend time, but they're pamphlets and the producer would have to pick those up, read those things to be able to see that. And a lot of times producers just dismiss those things, don't read them. And so how can we do that? And what I noticed last year, Jesse, I served as our Kentucky Cattlemen's Association president as well last year. And so I spoke at probably over 30 county meetings throughout the state last year. And obviously the checkoff was a big talking point for me. And what I began to realize very quickly in that process was that producers didn't understand how those dollars were being spent. And so we got a lot of pushback early on in a conversation about the checkoff. But when you explained where those dollars were, why they were being spent and how they were being spent, you could just see that light bulb go off. And a lot of those same producers would come up at the end of the meeting and say, you know, I had no idea that you were doing these things with consumers and that I'm never going to see these because I'm not spending time on those platforms. And probably my biggest example that I give to them is I usually ask a person in the crowd, when's the last time you've been on Spotify, TikTok, Pandora, or Pinterest? Most of them's answer is, what are those, right? They know Facebook, but they don't know these other platforms. And then the other thing that we get attacked with is, why are you not spending money on a billboard at the local red light where people are seeing those? My answer is, we can spend $10,000 on that billboard. And when a 25 to 45 year old mom pulls up to that red light, is she going to look up at that billboard and say, I need to have beef for dinner with my family? More than likely, she's at that red light on her cell phone, looking at Pinterest, Spotify, TikTok, and Pandora, where I can stream advertisements right in front of her face with recipes, with influencers that are doing those recipes. And she can click on those and they can put them in her Instacart, for example, with Kroger. Those are the type things that we can do. And for $10,000 with that advertisement, I can reach 4 to 5 million people. Where $10,000 with a billboard ad, I may be able to reach 5,000 at a red light. And so what's the most effective use of our dollar? And when I talked about 32 cents buying power, if we're still trying to promote in the same way we were in 1985, we're not going to get much promotion out there. And so when you start having that discussion with producers, that's when the light bulb starts going off and they begin to start saying, oh, you know what? I was watching ESPN this week and I saw beef scrolling across the screen at a UConn basketball game when they were doing it on SportsCenter. Right. Because for a very limited dollar, we can reach all those fans at UConn basketball games. But UConn was getting tons of promotion. So the Northeast Beef Promotion Initiative is one of our contractors. They're working with Seton Hall and UConn, and they're getting free promotion on SportsCenter. I saw it three different times last year where I saw banner ads running around with beef on there, and it cost us nothing to be on SportsCenter. Those type really genius ways of advertising is how we spread that dollar out. And so what I've done this year is really I pushed our beef board chair, our beef board members, but also our beef council members at the state level to get out and start having those discussions with producers and helping them understand why they're not seeing those dollars and how we're targeting specific audiences. I don't need to promote beef to a producer. They're already going to eat our product. But I do need to make that buying decision or help that mom make her buying decision and say, hey, beef is the best protein, the most safest, but the best tasting protein that you can put in your cart. And it's good for your family. And so that's why a lot of times the misconception is there that they're not seeing those dollars. And in many cases, that's why.
Well, we'll continue our conversation with Andy Bishop, the chair of the Beef Checkoff, on the way here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex, right after this.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit adoptuskids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now, cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to new discoveries and new treatments, and ultimately, one day, victory over cancer. Give to the V Foundation. Right now, one out of every two men and one out of every three women will get cancer in their lifetime. Now is your moment. You may save someone you love. 100% of your donation goes directly to game-changing research. 100%. Donate at V.org. Because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Cody Lee, a crop protection and adjuvants expert with CHS, will discuss the benefits of choosing the right adjuvants. Cody, why are adjuvants an important part of a crop protection plan?
Adjuvants are substances that are going to, when added to a tank mix, going to enhance the performance or physical properties of a tank mix. What that means to me is adjuvants are helping us get more of our pesticides to where they need to be, right? Making sure they're preventing that droplet dryout, making sure we're getting adequate coverage on our different pests we're trying to control.
Well, what type of adjuvants are available and why can the right choice make or break a tank mix?
There are all kinds of adjuvants out there. For simplicity, I'd characterize them as being either surfactant, something that's going to spread and wet, an oil, something that's going to break down that cuticle, a water conditioner to basically condition our hard water that we have, or some sort of all-in-one product or drift control agent. Deciding which adjuvant, though, can be kind of tricky. So to me, growers have to prioritize what their goals actually are. What is your goal for crop safety versus weed control? And then the other one is, what is our actual target or objective of this tank mix?
How can adjuvants help optimize the return on a producer's crop protection investment?
Adjuvants can help us maximize our ROI by controlling pests. So what those pests are doing, they're actively out there robbing our yield. Whether it's insects constantly feeding, diseases that are slowly killing our crops, or weeds that are constantly out there competing for space, sunlight, moisture, even our nutrition that we put down. By not controlling those, they're constantly bringing down our potential yield.
Well, where could farmers learn more about adjuvants and crop protection strategies?
Agronomy is kind of in the business of relationships, so go and find that trusted agronomist. And if they don't have the answer, I'm sure they can point you in the right direction.
Thank you for joining us Around the Table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. After long days in the field, equipment is subject to wear. Cenex premium lubricants help keep equipment protected. Learn more at cenex.com. Let's continue our conversation here today on the show with the chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, the Beef Checkoff. Andy Bishop from Kentucky is with us here today. Andy, you great summation there of some of those misconceptions with the checkoff. And, you know, I was going to ask, I mean, just that lack of knowledge, you know, again, it feels like that's the biggest misunderstanding that is really out there in terms of some of these attacks against the checkoffs. I mean, would you agree that that's the number one A item? Are there other misconceptions out there from some producers about, you know, where their checkoff funds are going that you've heard and had to deal with as chair so far?
Yeah. You know, obviously that. And then, you know, why are you spending money on sustainability messaging? We know as farmers, we're already sustainable. We're already doing those things. Yes, we do know that. But the problem is that most consumers don't know that. And just like our producers are seeing negative comments on social media, our consumers across the country are seeing the same negative comments that, you know, that AI is feeding them on any social media platform that they're on. And so depending on how many dollars are spent towards targeted messaging, we're getting the wrong messaging to our consumers. And so, unfortunately, it's the nature of the beast that we've got to tell our story. And so sustainability being one piece of that, right? Nutrition and health, the safety of our product, all those things together, we've got to be able to tell that story. And so we've got to target consumers in a different way than we have in the past that don't understand. They're 4 to 5 generations removed from the farm. You know, 10 years ago, we'd said 3 generations. Now it's 4 or 5. Those consumers have no idea what's going on at the farm level, how we're humanely raising our animals, what we're doing to take care of the environment. And they don't understand that, guess what, guys, if we don't take care of the environment and take care of our animals, they're not going to take care of us. And that's our livelihood. And so we've got to spend money on that. We've got to get that messaging in front of consumers. We got to give them that comfort level that we're doing the best job possible to create that protein source for their family and that they can feel good when they go buy our product. And if they don't, surveys show, we do consumer surveys multiple times a year through different contractors. And those surveys show that consumers want to know how their animals are raised, how that beef is supplied, whether it's sustainable or not. And those make their buying decisions. And if they don't have that comfort level, they're going to switch to something that does give them that comfort level. And so we've got to continue on that front, but we've also got to continue to educate those producers on why those decisions are made and how they're made and why they're important.
Well, it all makes sense to me. Appreciate the explanation there on the checkoff. Let's wrap things up here today, Andy. As a beef producer yourself, how do you feel about the overall outlook here for the beef industry throughout 2024 and beyond? Let's kind of wrap with some thoughts there.
You know, I think it's strong right now. Obviously, profitability is pretty high, especially in the cow-calf sector. We haven't seen much profitability over the last few years, and that's just a supply and demand fundamental, obviously. But the positivity around beef cattle production right now is increasing, regardless of what you hear. I know we're losing farms, and we're losing farms and ranches and ranchers that are aging out of the business or that faced drought for 3 years and said, you know what, I'm 70 years old, it's time for me to quit. But I do think that exiting of a lot of producers leaves opportunity for young producers to come into the space. Going to have to get creative in how we do that. I'm an ag lender, and so I deal with that on a daily basis with young producers and how they enter the business. With the cost of entry and those kind of things. And so I spend a lot of time working with them on creative ways to begin their operation and look at low interest financing programs, but also look at different ways of advertising and marketing their own product to add value. So I think that's a real positive moving forward. Obviously, the long-term outlook for cattle production is pretty strong as well. And I think we've seen, Jesse, and I always say this, this is a testament of what the checkoff is doing. In 2022, we had all-time high beef prices at the retail mm-hmm. level. We had also had all-time high beef demand, record beef demand, which says that our producers are doing a great job of raising a great product. Consumers want to buy our product, and they're willing to do it at an all-time high level. But that's also a testament to what the checkoff is doing because it's incentivizing producers or consumers to go buy our product. It's doing those things of spreading that sustainability message, spreading the nutrition and health message, but also spreading the message that we have the best tasting protein on the market, hands down, and they're willing to buy that product. The export market is extremely strong. It set records the same year as well. And so I think All of those things coupled together are going to create a positive industry moving forward. And I think there's a lot of upside potential there.
Well, Andy, good thoughts. And I know if folks want to stay up to date with the work that the Beef Checkoff is doing, I'm sure online, beefboard.org, looking at social media for the Cattlemen's Beef Board as well. All great ways to kind of stay in touch, right, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. I would encourage producers to go to beefboard.org. Easy way to remember it, drivingdemandforbeef.com. You can see all the work that the Checkoff is doing. It's fully transparent. You get down to the financials of the Checkoff and how those dollars are allocated, all the different programs. And you can also go on there and sign up for the Drive, which is a newsletter that we send out that kind of just keeps producers updated on what the Checkoff is doing and how we're working on your behalf, and help you kind of see some of those things that you may not see normally on how those Checkoff dollars are being spent.
Fun conversation. I'm going to have to go to the meat counter and get myself a nice steak to throw on the grill tonight, I think, after that. Andy Bishop, chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board. Andy, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on the program, and we will talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
And once again, Andy Bishop there, the chair of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, the Beef Checkoff, joining us here today on AOA. Brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Selecting the right grease is critical. Cenex Premium Greases help your operation achieve superior strength and performance. Trust your local experts at Cenex to find the right premium grease for you, or visit Cenex.com for more information. We are out of time here today on AOA. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we will have the May episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association. We'll also talk with Donnell Rehagen from Clean Fuels Alliance America. George O'Connor from OIDA is going to stop by for an update on some trucking-related issues. And we'll talk markets with Christy Van Onschiseth with Van On and Company. We've got a jam-packed show for you coming up tomorrow here on AOA. Thank you for listening. As always, I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk. In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.